Thank you for listening to the Ask AI podcast. To get our latest episodes, AI news, discount codes for events, and links to free resources, sign up to our monthly newsletter by visiting askai.org and clicking the subscribe link. That's askai.org.
This episode is sponsored by Cinchi. Cinchi is the enterprise data collaboration platform that enables people, systems, and AI to co-produce intelligent, reusable data products in real time. By eliminating data integration from IT delivery, Cinchi also makes it virtually impossible to violate data protection controls as you leverage AI technology for your business. If you are an enterprise IT leader looking to de-risk and accelerate your AI journey, this is what you've been looking for. Visit Cinchi.com to learn more.
Hey everyone, it's Chris, the producer of the Ask AI podcast. Welcome to the show. Today, we're exploring a really interesting world of artificial intelligence and a groundbreaking application where it's being used to interpret the sounds of human babies. Like, just imagine a tool that could transform the cries of newborns into valuable health insights. But how does the technology work? Is it showing promising results? And will it be cost-effective and accessible? These are really interesting questions that we get into in this episode. The guest today is Charles C. Onu. He's the CEO and co-founder of Ubunwa Health. His AI journey began in Nigeria, where he was working with NGOs, and this exposed him to some pressing healthcare challenges. This sparked a personal dilemma, where he actually found himself caught between his love for mathematics and a desire to help people. The answer was to merge his passions and focus his mind on creating AI-powered healthcare solutions that can improve the lives of millions. Charles pursued advanced studies in Canada, and his achievements at Montreal's Mila Institute earned him a prestigious Vanier Fellowship, as well as a Rising Star in AI Award from Harvard University. In post-academic life, Charles joined forces with co-founders Samantha Latramai and Innocent Odiogu, and together they started to explore AI for neonatal care applications. This gave birth to Ubunwa, a startup that's focused on an application that translates baby cries into actionable healthcare insights. Ubunwa has attracted investor attention and won multiple awards, including three from MIT, all for its innovative approach and strong clinical foundation. Join Melissa in this interview as Charles shares his journey and gives us expert insights into this incredibly promising area of artificial intelligence.
Thank you, Melissa. Good to be here with you.
See you again. Yeah, it's always good to see you. I know, you know, we had met way back in 2021 and I was so excited about what you were building, you know, version one of the Nanny AI app. Why don't you tell our listeners, like, what is it? What does it do? And I can't wait to dive in.
Yeah, thanks for sure. So Nanny is essentially our first step in giving parents the tools to interpret their baby's cry sounds. So many people do not know that, you know, baby's cry is actually a rich source of information. So we hear baby crying and we think, oh, we need to quiet that sound. Babies have actually evolved to communicate their needs and their health from the cry sound. So everything from, you know, pain cries to discomfort to stress, but all the way to like neurological and respiratory distress as well. And Nanny is really the realization of our AI in really helping parents to start to understand some of these insights from baby's cry sounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a cool concept. I still remember first hearing about it many years ago. Such a fan. And I love what you said about, you know, we think, oh, a baby's crying, we want to quiet that sound. But you would never do that to a child who's speaking. You know, if a child is trying to communicate with you using their words, hopefully the reaction wouldn't be, stop talking, how do I quiet them? It'd be like, tell me what you want, say more, give me more information. So it's almost like that's what you're trying to do with Nanny AI, is allowing babies to cry, giving them that space to communicate.
Yeah, exactly. I actually like the way you put it there, because it's really the idea that, you know, that cry is a response to internal or external stimulus. And as a parent, you want to know what that trigger is so you can address the true cause of the cry.
And, you know, being able to identify and address the true cries, it really fundamentally what your app is nailed is that there are different types of cries. There are nuanced differences in those sounds. And instead of we, the parent, as a AI figuring out in our brain, oh, the timbre is slightly different. Oh, the tone is slightly different. It must mean this. The app just does it for you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really hard for we humans to, you know, our ears are not designed to do computation. You know, we cannot do Fourier transforms in our ears and extract pitch and so on. We can know it's maybe high pitch or low pitch, but you can't know the exact pitch. And this is where AI and, you know, machine learning comes in. It's really extracting those, the finest details and characteristics in the cry to really make these relationships.
Fascinating. And so, I mean, I just really want to understand, where did you get this idea? Why, like, why did you start building this? Tell our listeners that journey.
Yeah, definitely. It's actually, I mean, it's always simple. I met doctors from Nigeria to Canada who actually were baby whisperers, effectively. Like, they could they could hear a baby crying and, you know, rightly guess the reason for the cry. I think the one that surprised me the most was identifying sick babies from the cries. It was just like, you know, how is it? And so the idea was like, this was possible for humans through, you know, years of the experience, of course, as physicians, to learn this. What it meant was that there was a pattern underlying infant cry sounds that they learn over time. And as we now know, if there's a pattern, then we can get machines to learn this pattern too. So I grew up in Nigeria. I spent a big part of my life there. And during the time I was working as an engineer, I used to work with NGOs, volunteer with them, health-focused work and so on. And that was when I met some of these clinicians, midwives and doctors alike. I moved to Montreal and started working at MILA and the Montreal Children's Hospital, and realized that, you know, the same thing applied. We met doctors, you know, one of our collaborators in Manitoba, Dr. Ganesh, you know, he can listen to these cries and analyze it in such detail for you, and you're like, oh, there's so much going on here. And so now it's really the question of how can we take that intuition that clinicians develop over time and translate that into, you know, quantifiable measures.
Well, I guess some people's ears are designed for computation then, because like, that's so incredible. Baby whispers that they could diagnose from the types of cries they're having. And I know that was the original use case, was all about diagnosis and being able to determine, hey, if there's something else going on. But certainly I'm sure it is helpful. Are they tired? Are they hungry? Are they whatever? You know what I mean? Or is it this sickness, something bigger than that? So, yeah, baby whispers and just turning it into an app. It's such a cool use case for AI. I really think it is so cool. You know, and your experience and bringing everything from your experience working in healthcare, both in Nigeria and in the Montreal Children's Hospital.
Yeah, and the way I put it is, you know, AI has transformed many areas of our lives. It's time for AI to help parents sleep and babies to thrive. So.
Oh, parents to sleep and babies to thrive. That's amazing. Well, you just hit a major, major milestone. I know you announced it publicly. You have analyzed 1 million cries. Like, tell us more about the stats, where you're at. Tell us everything.
Yes, definitely. So, you know, first we had to build our AI engine, which is basically a foundation model for analyzing audio. And one of the biggest challenges we faced in building this AI engine was we needed data. As we know, with all AI problems today, the challenge was nobody was recording baby's cries as part of medical record. If you're working on medical imaging, you would have X-ray scans, CTs, and MRIs, and so on to refer to that you can just pull from hospital records. In the case of audio, it wasn't a thing. And so we actually spent a lot of time working with physicians around the world. So we collaborated with doctors in Canada, in Brazil, in Nigeria, and now in the US. As well to basically design a protocol for collecting cry data as part of the standard of care in the hospital setting. And so we're able to record baby's cries there and annotate them now with the different clinical indications as well as the needs. And so what that has led us to was, you know, building this first AI, but then launching Nani AI to parents around the world. Now we have users in every single country in the world, except North Korea and China, I believe. You know, one of the things that showed us is that we were solving a truly universal problem that parents have everywhere in the world, because people were discovering us organically. We weren't, you know, actively marketing in Australia or Pakistan and elsewhere. Your parents were searching online for solutions to their maybe interpretation problems and discovering an algorithm consequence. And so since we launched the beta, you know, within the last 4 months, we have now hit that 1 million rides translated mark, which is just an amazing milestone for the team to go from like this small research project to something that's impacting lives in nearly every country in the world. It has come at a cost. The team has listened to many babies crying. To many crying babies, but it's a worthy cost for the vision.
But this is much bigger than an app. So A, that's already ridiculous. Like, I'm sure there are other founders or people who are listening to this who are like, wow, I wish it was that for me. Like, you weren't even actively marketing in these markets, and people in Australia and Pakistan are just like, yes, I need this, right? Like, that is truly incredible. But it's bigger than that. The fact that we have changed the standard of care in healthcare, which is actually also where I started my career working in healthcare as well. And so the standard of care has changed. This is so much bigger than we built this really cool and amazing app you can use.
Yeah, that's actually a very interesting outcome we want to achieve. Now it's, you know, the hospitals we collaborate with, but the goal ultimately is to see this as part of the standard in just any hospital, that babies' cries get captured as part of their medical records and as part of a clue into their health, essentially, that we look at in the clinical settings.
Yeah, especially because it takes that, like, what, 12 to 24 months for them to really start to even grasp language. Like, that's, imagine, like, even as an adult, you're, like, not feeling so hot for a year, 2 years, and you can't tell anyone, but it's like, wait, we have all these clues. Like, that's, it's just such a no-brainer. I think that is so incredible. And, you know, I really look forward to the work that you're doing for making this a standard everywhere in the world and part of their medical records. I think that's going to be transformative for the lives of babies and helping them get their diagnoses much earlier and much faster without having to call the, you know, one or two baby whisperers in the country that you live in.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the real benefits that, the neonatologist takes a decade to train. Takes about another decade to intuitively understand the patterns in baby's cries. And from day one, we could get parents to be able to comprehend and have the same, you know, access and expertise effectively.
And this to me is a textbook use case of artificial intelligence technology, making the complex simple, making something that, to your point, would take decades of training and then decades of on-the-job experience and making it accessible for everyone. And this is one of those examples that gives me so much hope about AI and the future and where we're going. And it's the good news story that everyone wants to hear. Truly, it is.
Yeah. It's hopefully AI for great good. That's really what we hope to achieve here.
So tell me the bigger vision. Like, tell me where you're going. Like, you started first year to build the data set. We hear a lot about clean data, just having it organized and labeled, but you just, like, there wasn't any. We didn't even record babies' cries. So, you know, you started with recording their cries. Then you've got this, you know, you have these partners with these hospitals and clinics around the world in Canada, Brazil, Nigeria, and then now out in the United States. Then you've got this app, and then parents are just recording in their home, wherever they are. And now you're adding that to your data set and growing and giving people these results, telling them what it means. But, like, what's next? Where does this go next? Like, you know, yes, next is the standard of care. We make it part of every baby's medical record. Then what?
Yeah, the goal ultimately is to be everywhere babies are, from the home to the hospital to the ICU, is to be present there and equip parents, equip health professionals with the tools to really listen to babies for the first time, truly. And what this looks like for us in our future is you know, broad integrations from where we started now, which is putting BMI in parents' pockets, essentially, to put it in their homes, in baby monitors, consumer electronics, smart cribs, and the likes, to bring it into medical devices, you know. And this will come on a key milestone that we're heading towards now, which is going to be our first FDA Health Canada clearance. So we are working towards that. And when that milestone comes through, it's going to really unlock the sort of next clinical phase of our work, essentially. So that's really the idea, is to give voice to babies wherever they are, essentially.
Wow, give voice to babies wherever they are and truly listen to babies.
Yeah.
Wow. My goodness. And so tell me a little bit more about your team and who you work with, and maybe if you're hiring, if you have other people that you're looking for, maybe if not now, but soon in the coming months. Tell me more of this. This can't just be you, Charles. I know you're absolutely brilliant, but a million baby cries? Come on now.
Yes, I would not be alive if I listened to a million baby cries. But yes, we have a really, really amazing team behind this work, award-winning scientists and engineers. We spun off out of Mila. Mila, for those who don't know, is the AI Institute based in Montreal, founded by Joshua Benjo, who is regarded as one of the fathers of AI, of deep learning and AI.
And you know him, right? You have a connection there.
Exactly. So Joshua has been a long-time advisor to myself, the company. He's also now an investor in the company too. And so it's really great to be in that Mila community to start with, because we've also hired top machine learning scientists from within Mila, as well as outside of Mila. My co-founder, Samantha, is a PhD in experimental medicine. Actually, we first met at the Montreal Children's Hospital, literally, during our PhDs. Our supervisors were collaborating on projects, and we worked together for a while. Our other co-founder, Dina Sand, is a software engineer who has worked with several startups that are now unicorns in the US as well over time. And so we really have in addition to the technical expertise of the team, one of the most special things about the team is basically how passionate and committed everyone is to the vision. I think that's the thing that brought everyone on board. And when I see the team and I see like how much they are plotting to this idea that we can create a near future in which we actually understand baby's cries. And we have wannabe parents on the team, as we call them, but everyone is really aligned on this of really understanding babies. I think that's a great thing. We will be adding new team members, of course. At every point in time, talent is something we're always looking for. So if anyone listens to this, interested in working or collaborating in some form, definitely reach out to me and we can take the chat from there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it is really incredible, the team you built and the level of technical expertise and the caliber of even investors you have. We're probably getting to a phase where you're in your last 1 to 2 rounds that are really the ground floor and early access. Like beyond that, it's just going to be huge. So super impressive. And I love that line, we have parents on the team and wannabe parents on the team. I think that's such a fun way of framing it. One thing that comes up for me actually, as I hear this, is like, what are other use cases? And maybe you've thought of this, maybe it's not in scope. Totally okay if it's not in scope. I'm going to take you on a wild goose chase potentially. But what does it look like if we translate this for dogs barking, cats meowing? Like, is there other transferable, like, wait a minute, is that another use case, obviously with different data sets?
That's a really interesting issue, because I can imagine pet lovers are always like,
Yeah.
My dog doesn't talk as well.
I do see the parallels, right? Same thing, doesn't talk.
Basically, this sound that, is a means of communication that we just don't comprehend effectively. And we would love to be able to understand. So yes, we've heard this quite a few times. Of course, it's not something we're working on now. We have our plates really full. But it is not something that is impossible to transfer the technology we're building for. Because at the heart of it, we are really building sound analysis, audio foundation models. And with the right data to fine tune our models on, we could actually make this happen. So we'll see where that leads us to. But if there continues to be more and more demands for this pivot of technology, we may actually look into it.
You're going to have multiple product lines down the line. I do believe that many, many years from now, and I could just see like being the company that's like helping you understand like anything you love that struggles to communicate with you, like a baby, a dog, a cat, like let us help you communicate, Did you say dolphin?
Yes.
Well, often on this podcast we have, we highlight amazing Canadian AI experts like you, but we also often have listeners who maybe they themselves are trying to get started. And so do you have a couple of words of wisdom or insights for people who maybe like you are in the workplace, seeing what you saw both working in healthcare in Nigeria and then working again at the Montreal Children's Hospital. And they've got like this nagging idea of like, there's something here. Like what advice do you have for our listeners who maybe have been in a similar position?
Yeah, no, good question. I would say the cliche answer, actually. It's just, you just start. You know, maybe I could also give a quote I saw in the book. So my first programming textbook was Visual Basic. My brother handed it over to me in 2005, I remember. So long time ago, almost two decades now. And the first, you know, I opened it, was written by two women who worked at Microsoft. And the first thing you see when you open the book was a sentence that said, learning programming by only reading it is like learning to speak a new language by only reading about the people. So essentially it's saying you got to code if you want to learn how to code. If you just like read this book end to end without going to write any code, you'll be exactly where you started. And I think that's maybe one thing that many people get into is this paralysis of endless, especially today when there's, you know, an infinite amount of resources. You can watch, you know, 100 courses and still find something you don't know yet or something you just learned new. And then you just, yeah, that is learning, you know, learning circuits, essentially. So I think the key thing is to exit your learning, or even if you continue your learning, begin to implement projects. Think of something small you want to solve in your everyday life. You could take the collect the data yourself, and you could use myriads of data sources that are available online on Kaggle and Hugging Face and places like that, and basically start building models. And you will get a real handle of AI of what you want to do, and you will start to sort of see what next or think about what next when you cross that do it line.
I love that. Just get in action, start doing. You know, don't get caught up in the analysis paralysis of getting in those reading circles, as you were saying, and just learning forever. It's like, take your learning, put it into action, put it into practice. Well, what a great takeaway for our listeners. Thank you so much for joining us today, Charles. It was amazing to hear your story and really wonderful to see the achievements you have so far, where I know you're going next. Very excited to just keep watching you another 3 years, another 30 years. You know, this is just wonderful.
Yeah, thanks so much, Melissa. Always a pleasure to chat with you. Cheers.
Awesome. Bye.
This episode was edited by James Fajardo. Original music was provided by Mike Letourneau. The series producer was Chris McClellan. To view the episode transcript, stream the video version, and get helpful links, check out the episode post in the Ask AI blog.